guest starring for Walter M. Sterling. Please welcome tonight's guest host of Sterling Every Damn Night, Dan and Becky Gaffney.
Beautiful introduction, beautiful. We are here. Hello to my lovely bride. Hello, honey.
Hello to you, honey.
We want to know, should you get the tooth pulled, or do you do what the dentist wants to do and get a root canal? Root canal or extraction?
My answer is extraction. No root canals. I'm never having a root canal ever, ever, ever. And now that I've said that, I fully expect something to happen to like the front tooth right in the middle of my head.
All right. This is actually a listener question that was sent to me. I forget if it was a Facebook message or insider text or something. 888-688-WALT. Dan and Becky, and for Walter Sterling, Sterling Every Damn Night. And last time I checked, this happens to be Sunday night. It's great to be here. So here is the question. I have a question for your audience. My dentist is pushing for a root canal. Should I do it or just have it pulled? It's a back molar.
Is there even a question? Any question? If it's a back tooth, get rid of it.
I don't think he wants to have a big gap in the front of his teeth.
But it's not in the front of his teeth. It's in the back of his mouth.
What do you mean? There's no question. Here's my experience with root canals. For what it's worth,
yes,
had two of them in my early 20s. I think around that age, teen or 20s. They lasted, and they were back. They lasted, one on each side. I don't know.
20 years.
20 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I never had them capped, which is something else. If you get a root canal, the next thing they're going to sell you is some sort of cap to go on it, which is a separate purchase. Because they'll tell you, well, you know, it could split and break.
Well, that's what happened to yours.
Right. I never had it capped, but it lasted 20 years.
And do you think it was a good plan? It was a good idea?
Well, at the time, I just didn't know about it. But today, I've had both of those have been pulled.
Right.
I've lost two teeth. Your toothless announcer here. No, I've only had two teeth pulled, and they're the back, except for wisdom teeth.
Right.
They're in the back. You can't really see it. It doesn't affect anything. I'm super used to it. It affects absolutely nothing. So for that reason, I would say have it extracted rather than a root canal. Because a root canal, just look at it financially. What's that going to be, $1,200?
I'm not thinking financially. I'm thinking long-term.
Pulling is going to be $100?
Well, no, pulling is going to be $300 at this point, babe. Yes, absolutely.
Well, I'm working on 20-year-old prices, apparently.
Right, because you haven't been to the dentist in 20 years, but that's a whole other story. It's the truth, right? Your last dentist actually fired you because you kept not showing up for your appointments.
Right.
They said you couldn't come back. But back to the root canal.
Don't bring that terrible dental divorce back up. Now you've touched a nerve and not a dental nerve.
Okay, when you don't have them in those two teeth that are empty. But taking your tooth out as opposed to getting a root canal, it's gone. The risk of infection is less. What do they say? 92% of teeth that have had root canals are infected underneath. Like you have rotting flesh in there.
I do have to put a disclaimer out that we are not doctors.
No. I get all of my expertise from YouTube and reels. That's how I know everything that I know about medicine and dental is from reels.
Like an Instagram reel?
Right. But I've always been into the idea that less is more as far as dentistry is concerned and medical intervention is concerned. And watching these things, I watch anything that I can watch from dentists about any kind of procedure in your mouth.
He's asking for the audience. So I have no idea if anyone wants to give their own personal opinion, like through experience. Would you have, if your dentist says this tooth is gone, we can save it for a while with a root canal procedure, or you can just have it pulled. What are you going to do? 888-688-WALT. And we will talk to you across the country about your tooth. I would like to hear, I'm sure the listener would like to hear some other voices besides ours.
Besides my opinion.
888-688-WALT. So, listen, the root canal, you know about it, right? They drill down and all the way into the root of the tooth, clean, bore it out. This is gross, right?
Yeah, it's gross.
They bore it out, and then they put these wires in. I think they put wires in mine. Did they put wires
well,
in
there? I think that they, yeah, that like a, it's kind of like a, I don't know, like imagine like a copper wire that goes down inside. It's not that, but, yeah. You know, imagine that. Like, that's kind of what it looks like. It goes down inside, and then it's filled inside of all of that.
Yeah, and then they fill it, and your tooth is dead in your, just in your gums. And that's it. So if you want to keep the tooth in there, that's what they sell you on. It's very expensive. I think it was gross, and it took a long time.
But you still have this porous tooth in there that can still get infection inside, and that's the problem.
Yeah, the critics of root canals, which they've been doing forever, the critics of root canal are saying what you're saying, that it gets funky, moldy, rotten it down in
that
there.
You basically have rotting flesh inside there, like underneath, and that, like, most of those teeth and the percentages in the 90s have like strep infection in them and other kinds of bacteria growing inside of that tooth, because the tooth is still in your head. It's not like it's a solid piece of ceramic or something. It's still a porous tooth,
exactly, with little channels.
Right. I'm hoping that a dentist is now going to call and correct me and correct you on all of the things that we're saying about, like, they stick a little wiry thing down in there.
I just remember getting an x-ray after the root canal, and you could see, like, it looked like wires were up in my jaw. That's
where
it looked like to me.
Where there would have been roots, that there are no longer roots.
Yeah, so in terms of intervention, you're against this intervention now. You would pull the tooth.
I would
and
pull
then
it.
What do you do if it's visit? Okay, this guy's it's a molar, so he's not going to see it. What if it's a front tooth?
Baby, if I lose my front tooth, I'm walking around like that every day. Just giving you big smiles, yeah. Looking like a hockey player.
That's why they call it the toothbrush, not the teeth brush. Anyway, why? You would not. You would get it.
No, like, I would get a fake tooth. I mean, I'd get like a bridge in there so that, which I don't think I would get an implant. I mean, I know I'd have to take it out. That'd be kind of gross and keep it.
No, the implant where they put the surgical steel post in and then the fake tooth on top of that.
Yeah, which also scares me. And it only scares me because I have so much sensitivity in my nerves, like with my sinuses. If my sinuses are swollen at all, I feel like every tooth in my head is going to fall out. I would be scared to death that I would get one. And the, you know, the screw that they then put up inside my head would cause me issues. So I would just, you know, I'd be wearing my dentures, babe.
We're talking about a question, root canal or extraction. Of course, the dentist is pushing the root canal.
I don't think so.
It's a more profitable.
Okay, but that doesn't mean they're pushing it. I've heard dentists a lot. And like I said, a lot of the people that I've heard say not to get a root canal at this point and to have an extraction are dentists. They're not just out for the dollar, babe.
Well, that's where we're going to part ways.
Well, then let's part ways, because I don't think that's true. I think that, you know, when you had your root canals back in the 1900s, when you had those done, I think it was, yes, this is our solution and this is what we do. But now we know better. Doesn't that happen?
Are you telling me dentists are on board with the no root canal?
Yes.
Well, not this guy's dentist,
well,
obviously.
Well, okay, not that guy's dentist, but that guy's dentist is probably also born in the 1900s. He's probably an older guy.
I think they're still doing root canals.
They are still doing root canals, honey, but they're still doing a lot of things that I don't necessarily think that, you know, we have to do.
Dan and Becky talking about dental work. Now, I think dentists in general, in the whole world of medicine, are still, in my book, the most trusted. you know, as opposed to some other kinds of doctors.
You say that, and then you say, they're only out for the almighty root canal dollar, eh?
Well, look.
And that's who you trust the most.
But we... I would also say to the listener, I don't know how old he is. I don't know anything else, but a second opinion might be good as well.
A second opinion is never bad. No.
Especially in dentists. Now, I just said they're the most trusted for me, but there's still some shady dentists, right?
There's some shady everybody.
Yeah, but we know people who've been told, oh, you have six cavities.
Right.
You got to get these six cavities fixed. They get a second opinion. They go to a different dentist. They go, oh, you just have one. Just one.
So
now, how can two dentists be so wrong?
I don't know, but my girlfriend and I were talking about this week. She had a dentist appointment with a new dentist. She brought all the kids here, dropped them off, left, went to the dentist. The new one says, oh no, you absolutely don't have as many cavities as that person said you did. You only have two. You don't have, I think it was nine cavities. And this is the second time she's transferred dentists where they've both given her that same line.
Right. Patrick from California, you were on Sterling every damn night. Dan and Becky filling in, and great to have you on the air. What are your thoughts, Patrick?
Well, hey, great show.
Thank you.
I've got personal experience, guys. I was hit when I was on a bicycle. It was a hit and run. Hmm. I had a beautiful set of teeth. You know, kiss the asphalt.
Ouch.
I've had implants. I've had many, many root canals. And a dentist will tell you this. You save a tooth at all cost. You extract a tooth, your teeth shift. And I've never had a tooth fail with a root canal. Again, I used to have them done by my general, you know, dentist. Now they send you to, you know, a specialist. It's quick. You know, it was so easy, in and out within an hour. So, again, implants, you got to do your homework and have someone that's excellent do it, because there are people out there, you know, that don't know what they're doing. But again, I've just been blessed. I haven't had, you know, any bad, you know, problems, but I would never. Like I said, a root canal, it's going to cost you, mine was $2,300.
Yeah, $2,300.
And they went through a crown. Yeah, they went through a crown. So then you have to go to the dentist. That's another $300. Because then they have to pack, you know, they have to fill in the tooth. They pack it. They put in, you know, in my case, porcelain.
Well,
it's very expensive.
Not a doctor, Becky over here is saying that inside your root canal teeth lives now rot and infection, constantly infected
in
your body.
For instance, I had a back tooth and it was bothering me. And I thought it was just like gunk. Because my mouth, again, it's a goddamn friggin' Formula One car. It takes a lot of work to maintain. It goes fast, but you have to really do a lot of work. And again, I have like seven or eight implants, guys. I can't even tell you.
Got it. Well, listen, Patrick, you've been helpful, but for the listener who asked the question, he wanted an answer, so this would be his third answer now, and yours is save the tooth at all cost. Save the tooth.
Save the tooth. Yeah. Save the tooth, please. You only
all
have
right.
one.
You what? Hey,
thank you, guys. Great show.
Yeah, okay, thank you. I think he said he only had one. But listen, thank you, Patrick. You can join in and answer this question. 888-688-9258. Dan and Becky in for Walter Sterling. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling at Night, inspired by Eliza Schlesinger.
I didn't know an Acura came with a time capsule. You just shut it. It's our little filthy secret stockpile, right? It's now that's what I call music CD.
In case they come back.
Yeah, it's one of those cables that plugs from the tape player into the CD player. It's a spilled nail polish. It's like a little bit of weed dust. It's a Calgon body spray, because you'd rather smell like a stripper than weed, right?
Dan Gaffney here.
And Becky Gaffney.
In for Walter Sterling. finishing up the conversation, the listener asking, I have a question for the audience. My dentist is pushing a root canal. Should I do it or just have it pulled? It's a back molar. You know, our last caller who had a very unfortunate accident, Patrick, with the accident and the teeth and everything. The two teeth I've had pulled are upper molars. I haven't had any shifting teeth or nothing has shifted.
No.
I haven't noticed that.
No. And I will tell you that we had a tiny little guy who had a fall.
One of our kids.
He was like maybe 18 months old and he had a fall and he broke a tooth and had to have that one pulled. And they didn't want to pull the other half broken one and it ended up decaying and then moving into the next one. And it was a cap this situation or pull it out because it's going to fall out anyway if you cap it. So we said pull it. And I was told that there would be shifting unless we had, you know, a device put in, spacers, and because there was going to be all this shifting when his new teeth came in. I asked about three people about that, and two of them said, nah, don't worry about it.
Right.
We never put it in. He ended up, I think it was three teeth that ended up coming out.
This is the upselling financial part of this.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily think that they're all just upselling you. I do think that people think, yes, that there's going to be shifting. But it didn't happen. His did not shift, and we did not get the spacers put in. Now, I have since asked other people about that and been told that, yeah, not necessarily, you don't necessarily have to have it. Other thing that I'm going to say is that our girls, they wanted to send us to orthodontists to have teeth pulled because they needed some space in there. We never did that. We never had the teeth pulled to make space. And so I started to think, okay, well, if they're going to want to pull teeth out anyway to make space, let's just get rid of the broken tooth.
Yeah.
And see what happens.
I'm sure people listening that don't know us are probably saying, yeah, I bet their kids could eat corn on the cob through a fence.
No, it's not. Absolutely not.
They don't. They have great looking teeth.
I had people
isn't that
ask
the joke?
Me this they weekend.
They can eat corn on the cob through a fence.
I think maybe that's the joke where you come from, honey, but I don't know.
Because of their teeth?
Because of their teeth. But oh, I had sad. People ask me yesterday where our kids got their braces, and our kids have not had braces. My cousin, my first cousin, is a dentist. Her daughters have had braces, and their teeth ended up looking just like our daughter's teeth, who have not had braces.
Yeah, that was an interesting genetic family test.
I guess. Yeah.
Because they did the whole braces thing maybe a couple of times.
Well,
maybe.
Cousin had them multiple times. Yes, she did. And then her girls have had braces, but they're 20 years old. So
why do you have to have them multiple times?
Because your teeth shift.
So it didn't work.
Right. It didn't work. But that's what I'm thinking. Like, if they take them out and they move, then if they move, deal with that, right? I mean, we can do all these things now, like with Invisalign. We can move them back without a whole bunch of extra orthodonture, perhaps. But that's my theory. These are my theories. Again, like, I cross that bridge when we get to it.
Isn't there a Netflix movie about this?
There is, and I've been meaning to watch it, and I have not, and now I'm absolutely going to have to. It's called Root Cause, and it's about what happens after you have a root canal.
It's a documentary?
Yes. About all kinds of things
it
that
shatters everything you thought you knew
about a root canal.
Your teeth.
Yeah.
Really?
So, yeah, I'm definitely going to have to watch it now.
All right.
And I'm still opting for no root canal. So, just so you know, babe, I might be gumming it someday.
Well,
if I lose
a front tooth, you're telling me have it pulled.
Yes.
Even if it's a front tooth that they could save with a root canal.
I absolutely am. Why would you do something that could potentially cause you heart issues, underlying problems, infection you can never get rid of? Why would you do that? Would you do that if it were anything else except for a cosmetic reason?
Well,
are you that vain?
Yes, I am vain. And you're bringing up a great point. A lot of this is done really for vanity,
I guess. I mean, it's the same thing as, like, I'm not going to inject my face with things because I'm not going to do something that could cause potential problems.
This is Sterling Every Damn Night. Dan and Becky in for Walter Sterling.
Walter M. Sterling.
Sterling, every damn night. Inspired by teenage daughters.
My daughter's in college. It's $63,000 a year to send this kid to college. $63,000. Yes, for those of you with daughters, you will not be offended when I say that it is worth every penny to get that miserable human being out of my house.
Walter Sterling vacationing this week. Dan and Becky Gaffney filling in. And this is amazing. My wife has found a new obsession.
Micro-obsession, honey. Micro. It'll last for a short time.
Micro-obsession. Claw machines. You know, the arcade game where it's filled with stuffed animals and the claw comes down and you have to grab one.
All right. Now, let's tell a little bit about myself here that I think wasting money is stupid. I don't like casinos. I don't like gambling.
She doesn't play games.
No, I don't like games at all.
If the kids get together, like even tonight, they were playing Clue or Yahtzee or something in the other room, trying to get Becky involved. No way.
Yeah, no.
You're not playing any game.
No.
And video game, absolutely not.
Nope, not doing it.
It's a stretch to get her to play the Wordle on New York Times. But anyway, I wake up the other night, like a lot of married couples. I go to sleep, and she stays awake and sends me funny reels all night long. And so I wake up, and I see that she has sent me supposedly a video.
A hack.
Claw machine hack, where you take the handle. You go up twice, down twice, left, right, left, right, left, and then hold the button. And then
put 5 seconds.
Then put the money.
You got to do it right, honey. 5 seconds.
All right.
And then you put the money in.
Whatever.
And then.
So get this. It was early in the morning.
Yeah. Like,
and she wakes up out of bed, springs out of bed like a Disney princess.
Yeah, because that's what I am.
Let's go play a claw machine. So where did we. There's no claw machine at 6 in the morning. So Walmart. We went to Walmart.
We did.
My wife, who doesn't play games, doesn't like arcade games, will never play a game, doesn't want to waste money, thinks it's foolish. Okay.
Because this time I thought I could win, so it wasn't going to be a waste. I was going to win.
I'm like, all right, let's go throw our clothes on and no shower or anything, baseball caps, and off we go, grab a coffee, off we go to the Walmart claw machine.
And what happened? My very first time, what happened?
You squealed like a schoolgirl because you won a stuffed animal.
I won a little cupcake. It was so cute, and it worked, right? Except
I don't think it worked.
Yeah.
It was just luck that you got one on the first try.
On the first try. Maybe it was my excitement. I don't know what it was. You know, I knew. I had a premonition. I'm going to win this little cupcake.
Yeah. But the hack, no way. We tried it at different machines. No way does the hack work.
Okay, but the first time and the second time that we were at Walmart that week, because we're there every day, I won another one.
Yeah.
Two times in a row. Twice, I played a game, and I won both times.
But since then,
yes,
the luck has run out. We tried it at two other places. A restaurant had a claw machine. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
And then today, we were at that same store, and we tried a claw machine. Did not work.
And you weren't with me yesterday, but when I went yesterday, the kids...
Without me?
I did. I had the two youngest with me. And our daughter that was with me, who's 11, she wanted me to play. So she gave me $2.
Crazy.
And then they both, but and they had to be her dollars because she wanted me to play the claw machine because it's exciting. It was exciting for me. And then today, I think maybe the micro obsession has ended because now I didn't win again today. And that was, so I won 2 days in a row and then I lost 2 days.
So you're
going to
be over it?
Probably. I mean, you know how long these things last for me. Like I really get excited about something and then I'm done.
We live near Rehoboth Beach and on the boardwalk, many claw machines exist that have things like iPads, iPhones, designer handbags. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That might get you.
I don't know, because right now I'm like, you know, it was.
Did you get a Michael Kors bag or something for the claw machine?
Maybe, because I do have a little problem with the strap on mine, so that might be the next the way that I'm going to get one now is because I'm so broke from all the claw machine usage that the only way I can get a new bag is if I use a claw machine.
But here's the thing, you know, we were talking about dentists earlier. You talk about something that is a scam, claw machines. I think they're programmed to only grip every so many times.
Well,
so you think you're doing it, but it only grips a certain amount of times.
You think it's the grip? Well, so the one that we did at the restaurant, that one didn't grip at all. Like, okay, so when the claw goes down, if it goes down and goes perfectly around the object, which now most of them are like those little squishmallow things, so they're round and they're not going to get picked up anyway. If it goes down and around it, the one in the restaurant was like clicking off. It was like so bouncy. It was like bouncing off the sides of it and wouldn't go around at all.
I think there are, if you want to do a deep dive on a micro obsession, you could do a deep dive on YouTube with the claw machine.
Which
people.
You have done.
Yes. There are people that own claw machines. They place claw machines. They program claw machines. They know all the tricks.
They know
about
how
claw
to put the stuffies in let the little machine get the claw around it.
It's a whole industry.
I think, though, I would really like to somehow find a way to afford a claw machine, just like to put it in the house. And then I could just, put all
arranged.
The stuffies that are in that house in it, and then I can just win those, and it'll make me feel good if
that
I do
that. Actually could be arranged.
Are they expensive? I mean, they have to be expensive. They have to be. How could you? Maybe we could find a used claw machine somewhere, because I like to find used things.
That's how the claw machine entrepreneurs usually begin.
Used one?
Yeah, they buy a used one. They get a good deal. They take it over. They spruce it up. They visit every week.
We could get a claw machine that I could spruce up, because it's like another one of my micro obsessions. The finding things on the side of the road and painting them. That's all the furniture that we own in our house basically is something I got off the side of the road.
A lot of times, people who are successful in these arcade games, they have a route, right? And so they have machines placed at different places, mm-hmm. and they go around and service the machine and fill the machine, and they travel around. They have a route, let's go to the pizza place has one, and there's a bar down the street, and they, have them placed all over. And a lot of times when those folks get tired of their
claw machine
work, or it's getting to be too much of a, it's like any business that gets run down, mm-hmm. they don't visit as much, or they didn't fill it or whatever.
Right.
And so they'll sell the route to somebody else, and a lot of young people, like to get in that game.
That might be fun.
Get in the claw machine arcade game.
As we were leaving today, when we forgot to pay for the toilet paper at the store and you had to go back and re-ring the toilet paper, there was a little boy who was begging his grandma to use the claw machine, and she was talking about what a waste it was. Right. So I gave the kid a dollar.
It's so strange.
It was so fun. That was fun, too.
I just can't emphasize to the audience,
you know,
you're married to this woman for many, many years.
You don't even know how many, but
mature,
that's okay.
Mature woman. And she suddenly wakes up on a... What? Saturday morning and wants to go out at 6 a.m. and play a claw machine.
Yeah.
It was fun. I had fun doing it.
So did I. It was great. It was great. And then the people behind us won, too. So your theory about, the claw only clickety-clawing every so often, that can't be true.
Well, there might be somebody that wants to chime in on that. I mean, maybe they're in the claw machine game.
Maybe they want to sell us a claw machine.
Yeah,
because
right.
I think I need one.
Yeah, you do.
In the bedroom.
Uh-huh. I'll hold off any lines that would get us in trouble. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258. If you know anything about this. Anyway, kind of strange. And the only reason you got into this is because of someone's fake video showing you some
I don't
hack.
Know. Okay,
and
I
you wanted
know.
To try the hack.
I did, and it worked the All first right. time. So I still believe in the hack, and I'm still going to continue to try to do that. If I go back and I look at the claw machine and I think I need to do it again because I'm still minorly obsessed, we'll see. We'll see how long it lasts until I move on to the next thing.
How How about skee ball? You like the skee ball?
Yeah, I don't think I like the skee ball.
Because that's my arcade game. But
is it?
We have to go to the boardwalk.
But see, this
for that.
Is how, like really, people, this is how much I hate arcades that I don't even know that he likes skee ball. Like, I really just, I hate it. It's no fun, but this was fun.
Right. Apparently, you're learning to try new things. Game night is next.
No.
We'll get you
happen.
In on our next family game of Yahtzee.
No. I think I'm traumatized from, you know, having to play with certain family members when I was a kid, and I don't want to do it again.
We unknowingly allowed, apparently, underage drinking in our house. And we'll tell you about that coming up. Dan and Becky in for Walter Sterling. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by TikTok.
Now I will get dressed. Goodbye.
Dan and Becky Gaffney, broadcasting from our living room on Sterling every damn night, in for Walter Sterling. How long ago was this woman over here who was drinking that was underage?
You make it sound like it was like some sort of party situation, and it really was not. It was
no,
last
I mean, it wasn't
year.
A wild. It wasn't like a
no.
You know, a frat party in here or something.
No,
no,
it
just
wasn't.
A get together.
It's been like
it's just wine,
right? And let me explain. Okay, so it was well over a year ago now.
Okay.
I have lots of people who are interested in kinds of the craft things that I do. So occasionally people will say, hey, I'd like you to teach me to do this. Or would you teach me to do this? Or can we
like
do a craft night?
Like paint
like painting,
night?
Painting, crocheting,
or
you know, like some sewing thing, whatever. Just
gluing
you know.
Beads onto
and
things.
And so I went through, again, the micro obsession, gluing beads on things. Yes, I went through, you know, another micro obsession like sometime last year where when people asked me, I decided I was going to oblige. I was going to just be like, sure, I've got, okay. You know, we've got a ridiculously huge dining room table. We can spread everything out.
Yeah.
And
so they brought wine
thing.
Over.
So this group of ladies who was, I thought, you know, all in their 30s, early 30s,
mm-hmm.
came and, you know, I have snacks and things, and they brought a bottle of wine.
Right.
And one of their girlfriends apparently was not 21.
Right.
And we did not know that until we saw last week.
Scandalous. Scandalous.
Her 21st birthday post
Scandalous.
On social media.
Right.
You and just, it was just weird.
You just saw it recently.
Right, because it wasn't like you said, oh, underage drinking. It wasn't like we had a party and she, you know, these women
well,
came over
well,
and crafted
thought,
and brought their own bottle of wine.
I thought by teasing it about underage drinking at
that,
our house.
That was much more exciting.
Unknowing.
Than,
because it was.
Then my wife is doing crafts and a lady drank a glass of wine that she brought.
Well, I think she took a tumbler home. With her.
Yeah, she did have, she had like her own.
They brought it.
Like, yeah, container thing that she put the wine in that they were drinking.
So, this may not be a big deal to most people, but
it was
we're kind of straight laced.
It was weird
around
because
here.
It was just not, it wasn't like a. It wasn't, again, it wasn't like a party or an event or like she came in and there was, you know, a tray of cocktails or something. It was like
an
old
wine.
Lady's like sip and stitch, you know, like, oh, we're going to have some
right.
cheese and make some crafts.
Sip and stitch is a good way of putting it.
Which was just, it just seems so weird that it was like.
Well, okay, let me get to this then.
Yeah.
So what is the deal? Like you were kind of surprised by it. That's why you brought it up. Like you wanted to talk about
it. It was sort of like it sort of felt kind of offensive. Like you're gonna do that. You're gonna bring this girl that you know shouldn't
it's
be.
Like you would know the people that
you know how old she is.
Yeah, they knew she was underage.
Yeah, the same girlfriend group was in the post, was in the social media post of her 21st birthday. They know how old she is. And, you know, it was just a friend.
They don't care as much
that,
as we do.
No, but it's just weird. It just seems weird to me. Like, I wouldn't be like, hey, come on, you know, like, right. kid that I don't think I'd bring a bottle of wine. But was,
yeah.
you know.
We're not, I'll tell you what, we're not, okay? We're not the parents. We have 8 kids, but we are not the parents that say, Oh, I'd rather have them drinking here at our house than somewhere out. You know, there are a lot of parents who have that philosophy where they let kids underage drink at their house on a sleepover or something, rather than have them out in the going out on the town and drinking and driving.
But here's
this
why.
Is a theory that some parents have. We're not that parent, okay? That's just not us. I'm not really, you know, I'm not.
Here's why.
I'm not getting on your case, but you know what? I think a lot of people know what I'm talking about. That kind of parent, that's not us. So when someone is underage and they're drinking at the house, it's just different.
They weren't doing it at their house. That was the thing. It was like they came prepared.
Here, this house.
They came here to do a thing and brought their little bottle of wine with them, which, you know, whatever. But that they came here prepared to do that with me not knowing.
Yeah, but those ladies could be of that mindset. Like this, our friend here, I'd rather us drive her and let her drink with us rather than going out on her own.
But that's kind of weird to put that on somebody than to put those people in my house when, I'm not contributing to the delinquency of any minors here. And it was just like, you know, little old lady night. And I didn't think anything of it. Not at all. And now it just feels weird.
Now it surprised you.
Now it feels weird. Like, do I say, hey, you know, by the way, I'm not going to.
I wouldn't say anything.
But it's just like, because it's, again, it's just, it feels strange. And like I said, I do these things all the time.
Right.
You know, I don't want to, have to ask a 50-year-old woman if she's okay drinking the wine she brought.
You're
going
to have to card your guests for the next sip and stitch.
Now, let me see. Them. If you're going to be using your 9mm hook, we have to make sure you stay semi-sober.
You know, just a little bit weird.
Card people in the living room.
In the craft nook. In the crafting corner.
Yeah. I mean, technically, I don't think it's not a big deal. But I'm just saying, technically, could you get in trouble for that?
Unknowingly. I don't know.
Right. Well, she was drinking at your house.
Right. If something happened. And that's why, that's the whole point of why it feels weird, because.
And they weren't drinking a lot.
No.
I mean, nobody left hammered.
No. But that's why it just feels weird. It feels weird because it was a presumption, I guess, that's kind of put upon me that I'm going to be okay with that. And when they leave, if anything happens, you know, I would feel, I'd feel horrible. I'd feel horrible. Not that anything would happen, because like you said, it wasn't like a party. It wasn't it was nothing. It was really quiet times. It just feels strange that somebody would assume that that's okay with you.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew.
I get it.
They knew that because they would have said something to me, I think.
And, did the drinking make her craft any better?
No, not at all. Not at all. And I think I can say that kind of freely, because it's kind of funny when, you know, again, when people ask, you know, oh, I'd really love to learn to do that. And they try for about 3 minutes and they give up and don't ever want to do it again. And
where was I, by the way? I was hiding. Typical.
Yeah, I think you were hiding. Yeah. Because
typical hiding.
Yeah, typical hiding away. Right.
When the ladies come over for the sip and stitch, which is our new name for it.
Uh-huh. Which I don't think I'm going to do.
I generally am somewhere else.
And here's why. Because the ladies come over and I'm all into it, right? And I'm going to go spend, not a little bit of money, but a lot on making sure that each lady has the supplies and this and that. And I'm hosting because, you know, I kind of feel like, well, they might not like it. They might be into it. And we do this, too, all the way down to my daughter. My 11-year-old daughter has her own little crochet club, and her friends come over and craft and do things.
I think it's all great.
It's
not my bag.
No, but when they don't really get into it, and then they're done, and then they just walk away in 5 minutes, it's kind of like you feel kind of defeated. And I think now I know if people don't want to go out and just kind of learn on their own and dig in on their own, they don't really want to learn. They just want to, you know, eat some cheese and chat.
Right.
They don't really want to learn the craft. They think that they do, but then they start and they're done in 5 minutes. It's their micro obsession, like me with the claw machine.
There you go. So that is the inside story on the underage drinking.
Oh my gosh.
Inadvertent underage drinking. And that concludes this hour with Dan and Becky in for Walter Sterling. Sterling, every damn night.
Thank you.
Walter M. Sterling.
Now, guest starring for Walter M. Sterling, please welcome tonight's guest host of Sterling Every Damn Night, Dan and Becky Gaffney.
The almost full moon is making people a little crazy.
A little?
You thought people were on edge in our travels today in different places.
How many people were mean to me today? Snapped at me, yelled at me, gave me hand gestures just for like walking down the street and smiling and saying hi.
Yes. Tomorrow is a full moon that is a super blue moon.
What's that mean?
Well, they call it a super moon and a blue moon, so they're calling it a super blue moon.
This is something that only happens once in a super blue moon?
Yeah. They have different definitions of what is a super moon and what is a blue moon, but Monday, the moon's orbit is a little closer to Earth than usual. That's called a super moon.
Okay.
That's why the tides are higher during a super moon and other things happen. And that's when the moon's orbit is closest to the Earth. At the same time, the moon is full. That's what they say. And then a blue moon is whatever. You know what that is.
I don't.
Seasonal and monthly. A seasonal blue moon occurs when there are four full moons in a single season. That's a seasonal blue moon. And then the second definition, which I think, according to USA Today, is a misunderstanding of the original, is a monthly blue moon, which would be the second full moon in a single calendar month.
Okay. Whatever you said means that it's something that doesn't happen very often and people are mean to me.
It's rare.
Okay.
So we have both things happening at once. So you, if you see the moon, if you're in a part of the country where you can see the moon tonight, then it'll look almost full. But the actual full day is tomorrow, and that's when the super moon, the two cycles, are coming together. That's why they're calling it a super blue moon. So if you think people are crazy in life normally, they might get even more crazy.
So actually, when I was talking to our oldest daughter earlier, I was texting with her, and I told her she was having some incident with someone, and I said, people have been really mean to me out in public today, and that was her. She said, yeah, tomorrow's the full moon. Watch out. So now I know it's even more than just the full moon, and I'm staying in.
All right. In honor of your new interest in games.
Yes.
I have put together a little game here tonight that people listening to Sterling Every Damn Night can play along with. It's an easy Name That Tune game.
This is not the claw machine, honey. It's not, you said in your new interest in games, there's one game that I'm interested in, and it's only if I'm standing there looking at it.
I'm going to give you a lyric.
Oh, boy.
And see if you can tell me the name of the song. Okay. These are, I'll give you a hint, they're super recognizable hits of either the 70s or the 80s.
So you've just said that, and now when I don't know what they are, it's going to make me look ridiculous. Therefore, I don't want to play the game.
I know. All right. Too late. You ready?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't have a choice.
All right. See if you know this. And if you don't get it.
Is this fun for you?
It is fun for me, yes.
At least, okay.
This is fun for me. If you don't get it, it'll go to the audience. And someone can call 888-688-WALT, like if you don't know it.
Okay, if I do get it, do I get a prize?
Yeah, I'll take you to the claw machine.
Okay, maybe I can do this. Let's
All see. Right, you ready?
Okay, yeah.
And I'm not going to read it in the rhythm of the song.
Because obviously. You can't.
Look, here's the lyric. You ready?
Yeah.
I never said you had to offer me a second chance. I never said I was a victim of circumstance.
I never said you had to offer
I
me a
I still belong.
Chance.
Don't get me wrong.
I still belong. Yeah, I know what it is.
What is it?
Don't get me. Now I got to sing it. Nah, my life?
Billy Joel, my life.
Life.
Very good,
okay.
Dear.
Yeah, thank you.
Very good.
Thank you.
So, here we go. The next one. I was a little too tall. Could have used a few pounds, tight pants,
too
points.
Could have used a few pounds.
Hardly renowned. She was a black-haired beauty with...
Night moves!
All right. Yes, night moves.
Am I ruining your game because I'm getting them too fast?
Yeah.
I'm ruining it. See, that's fun for me.
You didn't let me get to the best lyric.
What is the best lyric?
She was a black-haired beauty with big dark eyes and points of her own sitting way up high.
Okay.
Way up firm and high.
Working all the night.
What does that mean?
Okay, move on.
What is? What are they talking about?
I don't know. Move on.
What points?
Move on. I have two claw machine visits so far. Keep going.
Somehow I think that's...
Go! Next one.
Next. You have 2 points, right?
Uh-huh.
No man... No man does it all by himself, I said. Young man, put your pride
young
on the
man.
Shelf.
I said, young man.
You got it again. What is
YMCA.
It?
YMCA.
3 points.
Okay, sorry, that one took me a minute.
These are too easy.
Okay, well, let's go. Let's make them harder then, because now I go to the claw machine thrice.
All right, ready?
Yes.
We're in an... let me start here.
Okay. Don't try to make it harder.
You always taught me right from wrong. I need your help. Daddy, please be strong. I may be young at heart, but I know what I'm saying.
Your dramatic reading really messed me up.
I know.
Start where you said you were going to start, because that's not
I'll
fair
keep going
that you try to make it harder.
All right, I'll start here. You always taught me right from wrong. I need your help. Daddy, please be strong. I may be young at heart, but I know what I'm saying. The one you warned me about, the one you said I could do without, we're in an awful mess, and I don't mean maybe.
Daddy, Papa don't preach.
Yes.
Papa don't preach.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Four visits to the claw machine.
Papa don't preach.
I'm in trouble deep. Papa don't preach.
Madonna, by the way, Papa don't preach.
I've been losing sleep.
All right, I only have a couple more.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, I'm doing better than I thought I would.
You're going to get this one. So easy. I made these too easy.
Now I won't because...
Hop in my Chrysler. It's as big as a whale.
Hop in my Chrysler. It's a big... Yeah. B-52s, maybe. Keep going.
It's about to set sail.
Uh-huh.
I got me a car...
It's as big as a whale.
It seats about 20, so
hurry up and bring your jukebox money.
What is it?
Love Shack.
Okay, Love Shack.
How many is that?
You didn't want to play.
How many is that? I know, but how many is that?
I don't know, like 5.
Okay, 5.
And you didn't want to play this.
I know. Now I'm excited because you told me I get to go to the claw machine.
All right, you got 2 more.
Okay. I can't fail now.
She sits alone waiting for suggestions. He, so nervous, avoiding all her questions. His lips are dry. Her heart is gently pounding. Don't you know exactly what they're thinking?
No.
Let me say that again.
They have gotten me.
She sits alone, waiting for suggestions.
Shoot.
He, so nervous, avoiding all her questions. His lips are dry. Her heart is gently pounding. Don't you know exactly what they're thinking?
No.
All right, we'll keep that one.
No, how can I not know that?
That one is out in the atmosphere for the world.
All right.
888-688-WALT, if you want to, and I have one more.
I'm going to feel really silly when you tell me what that is, but I'm going to say that your dramatic interpretations of these things are really messing with my head.
I see.
You're not just reading them. You're like...
I know.
You know?
I had to throw a
it's
little
It's like we're
twist.
Doing a scene study where you have to try and manipulate keep anyone from knowing what you're actually doing.
I wanted to throw a twist in there on you. All right, you ready for this one?
Maybe.
And you'll excuse the phrase here. The big-bosomed lady with the Dutch accent... tried to change my point of view. Her ad-lib lines were well rehearsed, but my heart cried out for you.
Why do I think it's Rod Stewart?
The big-bosomed lady with the Dutch accent who tried to change my point of view. Her ad-lib lines were well-rehearsed, but my heart cried out for you.
See, I really
I thought you'd know that one.
I think I do know what it is, but I think, again, I'm distracted by your weirdness.
Which not that weird.
Is how I ended up marrying you. Distracted by the weirdness.
All right. We're playing a Name That Tune with my wife, Becky. I'm Dan Gaffney. That's Becky Gaffney, Sterling Every Damn Night, and we're trying to get an answer here.
All right. So let's go back to number six. Go back to number six and read it in a different way. So that you're not trying to fool me.
Let's
because I failed.
I can't. We
got
to let
somebody have it.
We have to let the audience
I'm
in.
I'm so disappointed in myself.
Let's try Ron from Philadelphia. You're on Sterling Every Damn Night. Ron, hello.
How you doing? Yeah,
I'm great.
Think it's Meatloaf Paradise by the Dashboard Lights.
Oh, what?
Nope. Sorry about that, Ron. No.
Okay, because if I got that wrong.
We love you, though, for trying, Ron.
It sounds like something I know. I know I heard that before.
I know.
Me too, Ron. Me too.
It's on the tip of your tongue. Thank you. All right. I'll try it again. I'm going back to it.
Okay.
She.
Oh, my gosh. Stop doing the weird, like, she, it's not like you're reading Shakespeare.
She sits alone waiting for suggestions. He's so nervous, avoiding all her questions. His lips are dry. Her heart is gently pounding.
No.
Don't you know exactly what they're thinking?
No. You're going to have to tell me what it is, because I can't take it.
I'm not telling you.
I can't take it.
It's for the audience. It's for the audience.
All right.
888-688-WALT.
I'm frustrated now.
Right. I'm sure half the audience are frustrated at this ridiculous game.
It's driving me crazy.
So there are two on the table. All right? There are two on the table. That one that I just read. Right? And did you get the other one? The big-bosomed lady? No. Are you Googling it?
No, I'm not Googling.
What are you doing? What are you doing on your phone?
I'm looking... I'm not Googling it.
Can I see your phone, please?
No.
You're not supposed to be Googling
it. I'm not Googling it. I'm looking at shoes on Marketplace.
We're trying to do a real radio show here.
I know, but this thing popped up. I got a notification that there is a Betsy Johnson rhinestone boot that I happen to need for our daughter.
All right.
And there it is.
We're going to come back and see if anybody knows any one of these two. That we got the big bosom lady with the Dutch accent, and then
what
the other
is that one.
One
I know.
Huh?
More. I know.
Okay. Look, Dan and Becky in for Walter Sterling. This is Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Harvey Holiday.
Late on a Sunday night is Holiday with love music, and it's so sad to see good love go bad.
Dan and Becky Gaffney in for Sterling. On, Sterling Every Damn Night is the name of the show. Let's go to John in St. Louis, who might be able to help us with our little impromptu game we're playing here. John, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, I think I know that is, can I give the answer yet?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think that's a Rod Stewart song, If You Want My Body.
The name of the song is...
You Think I'm Sexy?
Yes.
There you
yes.
go. Oh, my goodness. You almost blew it, John. Yes.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. Do You Think I'm Sexy? We give you 1 point. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Very good.
You get to go to the claw machine.
Yeah.
Take yourself to the claw machine now.
Thank you, John. John is my hero. Good job, man.
John is your hero. I got the first five right. John gets one that I knew was Rod Stewart.
So here's the one. Do You Think I'm Sexy? She sits alone. I'm not going to sing it. She sits alone waiting for suggestions. He's so nervous, avoiding all her questions. His lips are dry. Her heart is gently pounding. Don't you know exactly what they're thinking?
See, you sang it, and now I know what it is, but now I feel like I had to let somebody guess what it is.
Do You Think I'm Sexy, Rod Stewart?
The next one, though. The next one.
All right. We have one more.
Right.
one more on our little lyric game, and I will give it to you again. The big bosomed lady with the Dutch accent who tried to change my point of view. Her ad-lib lines were well rehearsed, but my heart cried out for you. Oh, you know it now.
Yeah, so now we have to let people guess it, though. Because no, you when you went back to, you cheated, kind of, and gave it away. You gave it away.
How did I give it away?
Because you were trying so hard not to say them like they were, and then when I knew it was Rod Stewart, and you sort of were sing-songy singing the first one, then it led me into this one. And you just said, well, point of view. I don't even think you were that close. But it was enough, so that now somebody needs to guess, right?
Well, it's...
Because now I feel
you
like...
You gave it away.
I feel it's, like you gave it
it's
away.
It's also Rod Stewart.
Right. You're in my heart. You're in my soul. There you go.
That's it.
All right.
You're in my heart.
Woohoo!
The song is called You're in My Heart. The big bosomed lady with the Dutch accent.
You just don't have to say that anymore. Yeah. You've said it enough. I think you can be done.
Too many songs about bosoms and
Rod,
stuff.
Why did you pick two weird Rod Stewart songs?
Because you're throwing your curveball.
No, the only thing that threw me a curveball was the weirdness of the way that you read it, which was very good, very good. You threw me off. You threw me off. So there you go. Which is funny because let me just say that most of the time when you're trying to tell me a song and you're like, it's that song, you know, that song. And you'll like have one note that's in the actual melody and then you'll sing something totally out different and I'll have no idea what you're talking about. Anyway, so.
Can I give you one more?
Sure.
I mean, as a bonus, because I'm having a good time.
Okay.
I'm just looking at the sky because it's getting me high. Forget the hearse because I'll never die.
No, I don't know it.
I'm just looking at the sky because it's getting me high. Forget the hearse because I'll never die.
I don't know.
I got nine lives, cat's eyes, abusing every one of them, and running wild.
I have no idea. Keep going with your interpretive.
You want me to keep from the same song?
Yes.
I can't because it'll give it away because the next lyric.
Well, I have no idea. I mean, I've got like really no idea. Like, I knew the others were Rod Stewart.
All right,
Stewart,
I'll read another part of the same song.
All right.
Back in the back of a Cadillac, number one with a bullet, I'm a power pack.
Okay, I got no clue. This is gonna be something weird that's
no,
like your genre kind of...
Well, all right, it would be my genre.
Yeah, that's something. It's got to be like a Ramones song or something weird.
It's not the Ramones.
No.
But it is my genre, I would think.
Yeah.
But it is extremely popular. Like, as soon as you hear it, you're going to know. I'm telling you, it's a huge, huge song that you will know. Okay.
Well, I don't, so no, not okay, because I don't. I'm clueless.
All right. You want me to tell you?
Yeah, I do.
Let's just end this segment, right? It's Back in Black, AC/DC.
Yeah, okay, no, how am I going to know that?
I'm just looking at the sky because it's getting me high. Forget the hearse because I'll never die. I got nine lives, cat's eyes, abusing every one of them and running wild.
What are you even doing? See?
That's so dumb.
But the funny thing is like I said, when you tried... Let me know what the song is.
I don't want to sing. I'm trying not to sing.
I'm hoping that you don't because no one needs to hear that. But that's what's hilarious is that when you do try, that's how far away you are.
Right.
All right. Anyway.
And then he says, back in the back of a Cadillac, number one with a bullet, I'm a power pack.
Black. Okay. Yeah.
Yes, I'm in a bang with a gang. You know, 7-7. You know, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay,
back in black.
How many times do I get to go to the claw machine? That is the only thing that matters here.
Seven times.
Do I get to go seven? Because he got the one. Ron got it.
I'm giving you seven times.
Okay.
My goodness.
Woohoo!
Ridiculous.
Seven whole bucks.
Dan and Becky Gaffney in for Walter Sterling every damn night.
Walter M. Sterling.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Anna Kendrick.
So, and now there's a scene in the movie that I understand was pretty uncomfortable. You guys were in the shower together.
Uncomfortable was the best day of my life.
It's time for Choose Your News audio edition. We have audio for some of these odd stories from the last few days. Dan and Becky Gaffney in for Walter Sterling. All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
The Poltergeist house is for sale. You can pick any one of these three stories to hear the audio.
Okay, well, I don't want that one. I already know
Is it okay to kiss your dog on the mouth?
No.
And next, well, there's a story about it.
Okay, fine.
And or next, jogger saved by hair clip during bear attack.
Yeah, I go with three.
Jogger saved by hair clip. Canadian woman survived a bear attack with the help of her German Shepherd Luna and a hair clip. Jogging June 30th, Vanessa Chaput encountered four bears.
Whoa.
Her dog scared... Wow, really? Her dog scared off two, but Chaput was attacked by a large male. The bear bit her arm and injured her spine. Her hair clip eventually exploded in the bear's mouth, and Luna returned to help chase off the final bear. So here is Vanessa Chaput revealing how this happened with the hair clip. Okay, you ready?
Ready.
The bear had taken my head in its mouth and had taken me down to the ground.
During the attack, the bear bit into Vanessa's hair clip. Apparently, the grizzly didn't find that too appetizing and started to back off. Vanessa says her barking dog also scared off the beast. Vanessa showed us a similar clip to explain what happened when the bear bit down.
It crushed the clip, and I think the spring part just kind of exploded in his mouth.
Huh. All right, if I ever go hiking, I'm wearing a hair clip.
You were showing me your hair clip
now. I am. So there's this concern lately with the hair clips that if you are in a car accident, the hair clip will be pushed into the back of your skull, and apparently it's, like, horrific, and we're all taking our hair clips out as we drive. So, like, that's what I was thinking when you're talking about the that she was saved by the hair clip. That's kind of what I imagined. I imagined the bear biting her head and the thing, like, jamming up in his mouth. And that's what happened. So, yeah.
All right.
Gross, but I'm wearing my hair clip if I go hiking.
Choose Your News audio edition. Woman buys a counterfeit designer bag at a thrift store. Rob Schneider apologizes to his daughter, Ellie King. Did you hear about that story?
No.
All right. And Olympian Simone Biles' birth mother seeks forgiveness for abandonment. Which one of these three would you like to hear audio of?
I've heard enough from Simone Biles' mother. I don't want to hear that one. So,
what's wrong with her?
Okay. All right. Again, this is me being judgy and watching from the outside. But I think if you wanted to reconcile with your child, you would have done it a long time ago, especially if your child grew up with your parents, like with Simone's grandparents is where she grew up. Mm. But mom chose to be absent and then continued when she didn't necessarily have to continue being absent to be absent. And now she's like putting it on Simone's plate.
And going public with
it. Saying like, well, when she's ready, which is such a narcissist thing to do. Let me put it on them so that I can say, I tried all these things and I want to, but she won't. So, yeah, that's why I don't want to hear that one. So let's go to Rob Schneider.
Oh, this is another parental one, which... Is that the one you want to hear?
I do.
You don't want to hear about the woman who buys a counterfeit Hermes bag?
Not really, because I think if you're buying an Hermes bag, you're...
Hermes. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, and they're ridiculously... I would never in my life buy one anyway. I won't even buy a new car, you know, so I'm not going to buy one of those bags.
Rob Schneider, the actor, you know who he is, conservative actor. His daughter, who's an adult now, I guess, went on a podcast or went online talking about he was a terrible dad.
Right.
Okay. And she went public with it. So he has openly apologized to his daughter, Ellie King, for his shortcomings as a father. during an interview with Tucker Carlson. Schneider just started admitting his failures and asking for forgiveness, acknowledging his past mistakes.
Yeah, he's had a total swing around, and that's kind of why I wanted to hear that story, because it's a redemption story that is what Simone Biles' mother should be doing, and I guess he is.
All right, so get this. The daughter kind of dissed him. Oh, he was an absent dad. Mm-hmm. He wasn't a good dad or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch. And here is Rob Schneider's also public response.
Well, I want to just tell my daughter, Elle, I love you. And I wish I was the father in my 20s that you needed. And clearly I wasn't. And I hope you can forgive me for my shortcomings. I love you completely. I love you entirely. And I just want you to be well and happy with you and your beautiful baby, Lucky. I wish you the best. I feel terrible, and I just want you to know that I don't take anything you say personally.
Good.
That's how you do an apology.
Right, exactly. And that's the difference between someone displaying narcissistic behavior and someone who actually means that they're turning against that behavior and they are apologetic. He said he's sorry. He took it. He admitted it. And he moved forward and said, look, I'm ready to change. I have changed. And let's fix it. Not, well, here I am. And it's in her court now.
Now you're going to make me play Shannon Biles, even though you didn't want to hear it.
Let me go ahead.
Let me hear what she's saying, because it relates, right?
Right.
I want to let her know that I love her. I'm very proud of her, you know, but I'm just still waiting, you know. I would like to sit down and talk to you and answer any questions you may have, you know. I don't know what you've been told but, you know, I want you to hear the real deal.
Oh, that is so,
that makes you crazy.
Classic narcissism, because what she's doing is there's zero admittance of, like, I was drug addicted and I went through this and I did this and you had to be raised by your grandparents. It's, well, I don't know what you've heard and I don't know what this person's saying. So let me triangulate right now and say that whatever you've heard is wrong and you need to come back to me. It's, those are the two opposite ends of the spectrum. Rob is sincere. She is not.
888-688-WALT. If you'd like to join our conversation, 888-688-9258. We are live radio on Sunday night. We love it. All right, next round of Choose Your News Audio Edition. Are you ready?
Ready.
8-year-old girl uses a baseball bat to fend off a robber. A man stunned by a bull wreaking havoc in the backyard, or throwing a curveball in here,
okay,
Chuck E. Cheese offering a subscription option. Choose your news.
I am going with the awesome little 8-year-old girl.
My hero of the week.
Yes.
Here's what she did. They were at Big Discount Liquors. In Maple.
What's she doing at Big Discount Liquors?
Well, her dad, I think, works there.
Okay.
Big Discount Liquors in Maplewood, Minnesota.
Oh,
shout out, Maplewood, Minnesota. An 8-year-old girl used a baseball bat to defend her dad, who was struggling with an armed robber.
All right.
Armed robber. The suspect, who had a gun, it was actually a BB gun, but who knew?
Right.
He has since been arrested and charged with attempted robbery. Here is a report on what happened at the liquor store. Here we go.
Leo punches the man, wrestling him to the floor. Seconds later,
I'm coming to the rescue.
You see his brave little girl.
So I'm so proud of her. So she's so strong.
Grab a baseball bat.
This is the bat. She was holding it.
Hitting the suspect before running away.
That day I would say I just want to cry when I see the video, because I was like, I don't expect she to do that. I expect, like, a little girl crying or screaming.
An incredible act of heroism.
And she said she wanted to defend me.
From a little girl who saw her dad needed help.
What do I say? I mean, she's an awesome little girl.
Right.
That's pretty awesome.
Hero of the week. A lot of people think don't intervene during a robbery.
Yeah,
don't intervene.
No.
But she's helping her dad. Her dad was fighting the dude. Yeah. So why wouldn't you?
You have a baseball bat in your hand. Yeah, nail him in the head. This makes me want to tell a story. Can I tell a story? A childhood story.
Can we get some story
music?
It's awful.
It's bad.
All right, go ahead.
It's terrible. So, okay. There was an adult in my life, and I won't say who this adult in my life was, but this adult started a fight that they should not have started with another adult, and three other adults came to... the rescue of the person I didn't know, okay?
Your family's more hillbilly than mine.
You know that this is true, right?
Right.
So my brothers jumped into this fight with these adult men and were, like, pounding on... I mean, like, they're just, like, fully involved in this fight that this adult should not have started and got my brothers in the middle of this.
Right.
And I know that you've heard the stories from my dad. My dad would tell you stories about Robin Lindsay, who was a giant. And, like, Robin Lindsay is at the post office, which is, like, two streets away. And he can hear the familiar voices of my brothers screaming. Mm-hmm. But they kind of kept this, you know, the adult in my family from dying at this point because they were in the middle of the fight. But Robin walks over and was grabbing people and throwing them off, like, what, in each hand, throwing them off.
The man.
Right. And then my brothers kept, like, pounding on them. Right. So that's the story of the rescue. But that's, like, kids, I think that the thing is, when kids kind of grow up in situations where, you know, you're going to the liquor store with your dad, you're ready to fight.
Exactly.
This also happened at a liquor store.
All right. Lots of things going down. Alcohol related. More Choose Your News coming up. It's Dan and Becky Gaffney in for Walter Sterling. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night, inspired by big banks.
So banks can go crazy if you owe them a dollar. But when they crash the entire financial market and request $100 billion, that's totally chill.
All right, Dan and Becky Gaffney in for Walter Sterling. You didn't choose the story about Chuck E. Cheese subscription, so I have to hear this.
I don't really.
I'm curious.
My choice was not to hear it, babe. All right, go ahead.
But I have to hear it because a lot of backlash, everything turning into a subscription. You know what I mean? You got to subscribe. Buy a printer. They make you subscribe sometimes, certain printers, right, for your computer.
I guess I'm not really getting what a Chuck E. Cheese subscription would be. You get to go watch the robots that don't work three times a week.
You get to play the claw machine. Here we go.
This morning, the prices for summer fun climbing as quickly as your kid's favorite roller coaster. And for so many parents, those rising costs make family outings way too expensive. But now, Chuck E. Cheese, hoping to entice some families with a subscription that opens up discounts. The monthly fees start at $7.99.
Based on that pass, you can get from 40 games to 250 games per day.
Per day?
So I could do the claw machine 250 times a day.
And all sauce you could eat.
Do you have Do you have to?
No offense.
Totally offense. Chuck E. Cheese is like the worst. It's not pizza. It's not. It's not even like school lunch pizza. It really is like some sort of paper product with some wood pulp on top of it. No, but so if you like got me a $7.99 subscription this month, could you cancel next month?
Because
if you did that, I would go play the claw machine 250 times and win two stuffed animals.
All right. Choose Your News audio edition. Another round. Story number one, what is Summerween?
What?
Summerween. Story number two,
feel fine.
Honking driverless cars disturbing sleeping San Francisco residents. And number three, lost wedding ring found 61 years later.
So I know that one.
You heard that one this week?
Yeah, I know that one, but... I want to hear the honking cars, I think, because that sort of is hilarious to me.
San Francisco residents are fed up with Waymo cars. These are the driverless cars they use as taxis. There's no driver in the cars, just drive around.
Okay, creepy. People,
I know. It's been happening in San Francisco.
Yeah, it's just creepy.
People have complaints about them for a lot of different reasons. This is the latest in a long line of complaints. The cars, I guess, honk at each other when they're trying to when they try to park at night. They honk at each other to, like, alert each
this
other.
This is like an 80s horror movie.
Well, here's how they reported it on Good Morning America.
This morning, San Francisco residents are fed up after being kept up at night by driverless Waymo cars honking at each other through the night as they park.
I could not be more cranky today. Over the past 2 weeks, I've been woken up more times overnight than I have combined over 20 years.
Waymo says the vehicles automatically honk their horns when other cars get too close to them while reversing. Mm.
I think that's hilarious. The guy obviously doesn't have 8 children if that's what's, right. If he's woken up more times in one night than he has in 20 years.
Sleep is overrated, dude.
Yeah, really. So this reminds me, though, of like when he's like, oh, I've never been more grumpy in my life. We have a siren in our town.
Fire siren.
Fire siren, old school. We have a volunteer fire department. God bless them all. They go out in the middle of the night, and when they hear the siren, sure, there are other ways that they can be alerted.
Right,
but when
they could have pagers or text messages or something.
Yeah, but don't you want to know that they have all the things that activated waking them up?
Right.
I do, too.
And
you get used to it. It's just like you alert to your own alarm, but not someone else's necessarily. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of get used to those things. We live by the train tracks. We have that. But the people in the town who didn't grow up here,
they moved here.
That moved here. Like, all of us
we
are
love
used
them.
To it.
We love them, but they call it the fire whistle.
Right.
It's not a whistle, but they call it the fire whistle. It's just a different way of speaking.
Right.
And they're generally from New Jersey.
And grumpy. They're just mad about it all the time. And it's the middle of the day, and it goes off. Well, there's that fire
it's
whistle
It's the same
again.
Thing. You know, like, there are people in Texas right now. A lot of people are moving out of California, like, into Texas. And they, like, talk about the Californians. Same thing in Oregon. If you live in Oregon and you have people from California have moved in, they all those people from California. It's just that, you know, people are getting acclimated. But a lot of people who moved from New Jersey.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
Don't like the fire whistle.
Or the crop dusters.
Right. That's something
anything
else
that's new. Anything that they don't hear that's right. new, they're just like freaking out about it. And it reminds me of these cars. Obviously, this is different. But the grumpy level, like, you know, it is what it is. It's just like
how about the driverless car in general?
That's just creepy to me anyway. And I don't think, yeah, that's just creepy. I don't want to, I will not get in a car that's a I mean, this is me. You know how I imagine the worst case scenario all the time? I've already imagined 7 different ways that car is going to kill me.
Right.
Drive off a pier.
Yeah, but you would think
off
those
a parking
same,
garage.
Those same horrible fantasies could happen with a real driver.
Yeah, but it's not going. You're not going to drive off a cliff.
Right, typically.
No.
But the machine has nothing
right,
to lose. Right.
Right. And if you were starting to drive off of a cliff, I could sort of control you a little bit, grab the wheel, poke you in the eye, something.
Right.
Right. But if it's a driverless car, what are you going to do? Nothing.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was a good choice. I would have picked that one as well. Although I do want to know what Summerween is.
That's the weirdest thing.
I guess it's because the Halloween decorations are starting to come out in August already, and some people embrace it, and they start carving jack-o'-lanterns out of watermelon and cantaloupes. And so that's what Summerween is.
That's not even cute.
The fall season's creeping in, but this time it's an unofficial holiday dubbed Summerween, inspired by a 12-year-old episode of the show Gravity Falls.
This town loves Halloween so much, they celebrate it twice a year.
It's not just a bunch of hocus pocus.
Come! We fly!
Fall fans are actually throwing Summerween shindigs, pool parties with spooky yet cheerful decor, including jack-o'-melons. Ghoulish merch is easy to find, with stores like Michael's stocking their shelves before August and Home Depot starting this week.
Yeah. You know what I mean.
So I, oh my goodness, I took a video this week of some sparkly pumpkins and was like, this is Halloween I could relate to. That's why.
Yeah, it's Summerween.
Well, okay.
All right, we are closing out this hour. Happy to be with you with live radio in for Walter Sterling. I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
Hopefully you can join us in another hour coming up. Sterling, every damn night.
Walter M. Sterling.
Now, guest starring for Walter M. Sterling, please welcome tonight's guest host of Sterling Every Damn Night, Dan and Becky Gaffney.
Hey, we have the same last name.
How did that happen?
I married you.
Do you know how long ago you married me? Let's not even go there. I'm not even going to go there.
All right. Listen, welcome to the program.
Easy out. That's the game you had
26 years ago.
Okay, you're wrong. So keep going.
Sterling every damn night, and it's great to be here. People are wondering if it's dark where you are, if you can see the moon. A lot of people are wondering, is the full moon tonight? This is wild. Full moon. It's actually full tomorrow. We mentioned this before, but I just want to tell you it's called a super moon because it's full and the Earth and the moon are at their closest point. That's why they call it super moon. Get heavier tides, high tides and things. And I think it makes people super crazier than normal. And it's also a blue moon.
Which is when the werewolves come out. So
super blue moon.
In the middle of Summerween with the werewolves.
All right. We have a round of Choose Your News. We've been listening to interesting and amazing audio from some odd stories of the last week. Certainly not the biggest news stories of the week, but they are somewhat interesting. So this is Choose Your News Audio Edition. Are you ready, Becky?
I'm ready.
Story number one. I'll give you three stories. You choose one. Hurricane Debbie. Remember we had that a week ago?
I do remember.
Hurricane Debbie uncovered message in a bottle from World War II era.
Okay.
Number two. Arrests made in connection with Matthew Perry's death.
Yeah, sad.
And rock legend dies at age 75.
Okay, well, I
choose
know.
Your news.
I'm going to choose the message in a bottle since our kids found a message in a bottle just a couple weeks ago.
They did.
Thought that was super cool. So let's go with that one.
She was cleaning up after Hurricane Debbie in Florida. Suzanne Flamant Smith found a World War II era message in a bottle on a place called Bayshore Boulevard. The bottle had a letter dated March 4th, 1945, and some other little things in it. Here she is talking about the message in a bottle.
I think it was wrapped in a bottle like that. So then I kind of opened it, and then I think I was like, what?
Dated March 4th, 1945.
Dear Lee, received your letter yesterday.
The message was written on U.S. Navy letterhead during World War II.
I'm going to school again, radio school.
Some of the cursive writing is faded, but it appears to be two buddies.
They have a bar and they have pretty good beer.
Catching up on their daily lives.
But we'll write again tomorrow. Be all Navy, your pal, Jim or Chris. Not sure.
That's so sweet.
Isn't that great?
It is. It's great.
She said in it there was a bullet casing, a coffee stick of some sort, some sand, and a miniature, like a ball bearing or a miniature cannonball of some sort. I don't know what that's about.
That's
but
adorable.
There were little things in it.
And it makes me want to send out more messages in bottles. So we might have to do that this week with the kids.
So you got to think about that he was writing it to who?
To his friend, but he probably didn't know if he'd ever see his friend or who
he
knows
just
where
threw it
he was
in
when
by
he
chance.
Threw it
I'll throw
because
it in
he just yeah wow. just thoughts and he didn't know how to get it there or who Isn't, knows where yeah. he was and what he was right in the middle of.
All right, I'd like to call an audible and hear about the arrests made in connection with Matthew Perry's death. Matthew Perry, the guy from Friends,
yeah,
died last October. Mm-hmm. Shocked everyone because, you know, he had known addiction issues, but everyone said he was sober and everything. Five people have been arrested in connection with his death. And U.S. Attorney Martin Estrada said the two doctors, his personal assistant, are among the five. And they provided him with excessive ketamine.
Right.
Exploiting his addiction for personal gain is the that's the position the attorney is taking, U.S. attorney, the prosecutor. The arrest follows his death in the L.A., as I said, last fall. So here is the U.S. attorney talking about the charges.
That investigation has revealed a broad underground criminal network responsible for distributing large quantities of ketamine to Mr. Perry and others. This network included a live-in assistant, various go-betweens, two medical doctors, and a major source of drug supply known as, quote, the ketamine queen. We charged five defendants in this matter.
Wow.
Who is
ketamine queen?
Yeah, that's just absolutely insane. You know what ketamine is, right?
Like, well, it's in the why is it in the news all of a sudden?
Well,
all the like I've heard of a lot of ketamine stories.
So, I mean, I guess now it's becoming
could be an animal tranquilizer,
something that they're putting out there. But like ketamine is like so if you were in the field and you had to like do a surgery on somebody and you can't do anesthesia or like it basically disconnects your body from your brain, like
from reality.
They can shoot you up with it and you just do not care what's going on. You aren't unaffected by it and they could just like, you know.
Sounds like back when I had tequila.
No, honey,
back when I drank.
Not at all. But it's, I mean, like, will totally disconnect you. Like, if it was an emergency situation such as that, like, you wouldn't. Yeah, I mean, that's how awful it is. So to have
terrible.
A network of that, like, they're with that comes with a personal assistant. Where else are they doing this?
Yeah,
widespread is this? It's got to be huge.
The abuse of it.
Right. It's got to be huge. And it's
throughout Hollywood.
It's
apparently.
Got to be coming from doctors. If this is, you know, like this is how they're saying this network works, that's it's a huge story.
Mm.
Sad. Well, very sad.
Yeah, it's interesting. And again, back to documentaries on Netflix. There are a couple ketamine related documentaries I hear people talking about. All right. Choose your news. Another round, folks. I kind of like this. I like hearing some of these odd stories.
And you're going to call an audible every time, no matter which one I pick.
Yeah, maybe.
Just keep doing
maybe.
That.
Well, I can't help it. And
okay.
Who's the rock legend that died? We're not going to do the Choose Your News on this, but it was Greg Kinn.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, you do.
I do?
Yeah, Greg Kinn, the breakup song.
No, honey.
Jeopardy. Our love's in jeopardy.
Oh, I was going do.
Just you did. When I need you. Ring a bell?
Yeah. I knew what it was when you said it. I just
this is the breakup song. Greg Kinn had Alzheimer's, 75 years old. He passed away this week. All right. Choose your news. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Famous game show host passed away at 98. Famous game show host.
Yes.
Number two. Two male flamingos raise a chick together. And number three, Texas woman awarded Guinness World Record for widest tongue.
Okay, that's just weird and gross. And I'm sorry to the Texas woman. Congratulations on your big, giant, wide tongue. But can we go with...
Her name's Gina Simmons.
Okay. Honey, come on. Can we go with...
It's not Gina.
No.
Gina Simmons.
No, it's not.
He has the longest tongue, not the widest.
Can we go with the game show host who died?
Yes, I'm surprised you didn't know this week.
Well, I did know this, but that's the story that I picked to hear.
Okay. It's just a clip. Peter Marshall, who hosted Hollywood Squares, the original.
Right.
Before Tom Bergeron? Is that the guy's name?
Yeah, Bergeron, yeah.
Anyway, the original OG, the OG Hollywood Squares host, died at his Encino home from kidney failure at age 98. He started as a radio DJ and later performed with Tommy Noonan on shows like The Ed Sullivan Show. So one of these guys made it from DJing into sort of like talk shows, game show.
That's what you're trying to do tonight, isn't it? You're yes. trying to turn into some sort of game show host tonight.
That's right.
All right.
Now, here's Peter Marshall. You remember this is when Paul Lind is in the center square.
Do I remember that?
Wally Cox was down on the bottom. George Gobel.
Yeah, no.
These are all great, great Hollywood Squares people. Zsa Zsa Gabor. All right. Ava Gabor, one of the Gabors, or in one of the squares. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about, but this is way before my time, babe.
All right. You do a deep dive on Paul Lind Zingers. He was in the center square. I have to explain this to my young wife.
Okay, so I remember Hollywood Squares, but not like this Hollywood Squares.
All right,
so.
This is it. This was the bomb. This was bigger than Wheel of Fortune, bigger than Jeopardy back in the day. Everybody watched Hollywood Squares at night. It was one of those deals like, you know how Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy are on?
Yeah,
like,
your mom used to sit and watch
that time
them every
of
night.
Like
yeah.
7 or mm-hmm. something. Hollywood Squares, man. And Paul Lind was the funniest guy. Go anyway. Here's Peter Marshall making an error while hosting Hollywood Squares. This is an old clip. Here we go. Oh, you know what I got
to
do?
You have to push play, babe.
Thank you,
Wally Cox. True or false? Some dinosaurs were no bigger than a chicken.
What?
Some rhinoceros?
Dinosaurs.
What?
Dinosaurs.
Okay, that was funny. That's all.
Here
right,
we go
Peter.
Again, folks.
You put a next right on Peter's face.
There you go.
Dinosaurus.
Dinosaur.
I'm going to call it that forever.
All right, and our final round of Choose Your News. Texas woman awarded Guinness World Record for
Stop.
Widest
You're
tongue.
You're not putting this one back in.
Basketball coach.
You can't put that one back in.
I just did.
No, you can't. That's not fair.
You don't have to pick it. Basketball coach sets world record with 1,134 three-point shots
in
1 hour.
Oh, my goodness.
And
what? That's crazy.
Should individuals be fined for swearing in public?
Okay, so I'm going to go with the basketball coach.
Good choice. That would be my choice.
Good. The only choice.
The only choice. Get this, man. Think about this.
That's crazy.
Ryan Martin is a high school coach in Maine. He may have broken the Guinness Book of World Records. Not official yet. They're going to certify it. 1,000, imagine this almost seems impossible. 1,134 three-pointers in 1 hour, surpassing the previous mark of 1,077. He is awaiting official confirmation from Guinness. But how did he get into this? Listen to this. Here is a report on this amazing three-point shot guy.
On August 9th, Lake Region boys basketball head coach Ryan Martin set a new world record, 1,134 three-pointers in an hour. When we got the chance to talk with Ryan, we were curious. How do you even think of such a thing?
My friend Nick, in May, it was a couple months ago, probably like in the end of May, we were just shooting around and just messing around in the gym, and I made 104 threes in a row, which was, from what I know, the most I've ever made in a row. And then he's the one who said you should start going for some shooting world records.
104 threes in a row?
Okay, so this has inspired me. I think I could break a world record. If I went for an hour, I could miss the most. I could try 1,000 times, and I would miss.
I almost don't believe this. It's almost impossible.
I don't know, man. Why? I mean, if somebody's standing there handing them balls, why not? Just like one after the other, after the other.
I'm almost more impressed by him saying he got 104 in a row.
It's not like he had to go get the ball. I'm saying somebody's handing him the balls.
Standing in one spot.
Yeah, and somebody's handing him the balls, and he's just throwing and throwing and throwing and throwing. And if someone did that for me, I could miss and miss and miss and miss, and I could have a world record. Guaranteed.
All right. Walter Sterling is on vacation. Dan and Becky Gaffney filling in. This is Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Ben from Lost.
When did you start sleeping with a bottle of scotch by the bed?
When the nightmares started.
Dan and Becky in for Walter Sterling. My wife has a habit of buying things. Like, let's say you want to go out and buy a large, or no, not that's not a good example. Medium-sized shirt. She'll come home with a small. She had a medium in her hand, but somehow picked up a small.
Because I put it down, looking.
The wrong size. I meant to buy this, but I got that. I'm like mistakenly buying things.
Try to buy this one, but I get the sugar-free one because it's next to it. When I go to reach for it, it's so weird. It's like right there in front of me. We can be talking about, I can read the label, put it, and somehow I'll end up with the wrong one.
It's some sort of, it's like a dyslexia sort of thing.
Dyscalculia or something because of like the map reading is off. So like my approach is off. I don't know.
It also happens with online purchases.
Oh, boy.
So what did you buy this week that was wrong?
Okay, so
it's because it's about every week.
Every time I buy something, I'm so ridiculous.
I'm not mad.
No, I know, because just it's smile. Such a weird thing now. It's like we've kind of, I used to get so frustrated when I would do it. Now I just kind of have to laugh at myself.
Yeah.
So this week we had been looking at a craft thing to do. And so some of my daughters and I, our daughters, were looking at buying these hats because I think this is really cool. This, like, you're laughing.
They're like
already.
Cowboy hats.
Sort of like cowboy hats or fedoras. They're felt hats and they're wood burned, and we do crafty things. So I was like, this is cool. I could wood burn these patterns on hats. That'll be great fun, right? We can do that together. And somehow
when she says that she does this, like, here's what it looks like in the house.
Oh, my word.
All over the table. Everything is,
Well, it's not now. Like, I do it and then I put it away. But, it's like a big thing.
We go big.
If I'm doing it, I really want to do it. So I buy, like, three of this kind and this kind. I didn't buy one and then, like, try it with one. So I get all of this stuff and I ordered what I thought were felt hats, and they ended up being like 20% wool and 80% polyester or acrylic or something. So they're basically plastic. So what happens when you hit the hat with the wood burning equipment?
Is that your fault though?
So it's gotta be, because I'm reading all the information, because I have to make sure that
like
they're
it
the
probably
right
said
kind of hats.
Felt like or something.
I don't think that it did. I know that I read it a million times. I know that I did. And like I'm like,
still
okay,
got the wrong thing.
Opal, check this out. Do I have this? And we put things in and out of the cart. It was probably a month in the making. And now I have all of these plastic.
It's all wrong.
I mean, they're not plastic. There's, they still look like they're felt.
They just don't burn right.
No, they don't. And so they sort of kind of melt, and they're just, it's cheap and gross and weird. And I'll have to find something else to do with them. But until I do, they'll sit on the shelf until I'm on to my next craft, which will probably be next week, and I won't get the right thing. But anyway, that's what I do.
Can you, it feels... instead of it being smooth, you like etch this thing in there and it feels rough because it's burnt plastic.
Right. So
can you sand it?
Well, I tried that. Yeah. So I did try it. I took like fingernail clippers and tried to clip it down so it wouldn't be as melty. And it's just like I get frustrated with myself and then I just want to be done with it. But I still have to do something with all this stuff that I got because it's nobody else's fault but my own.
Yeah, but
I messed it up.
It's just one of those things.
I know it's
you
just
beat yourself
things,
up over it, but
I do.
I'm so used to it. I just let it roll.
All right. Now, see, it makes me feel like even worse. This is what I need to do.
I'm supportive.
Go to Goodwill. Yeah. I'm just so used to your mistakes, babe. I need to go to Goodwill and find a felt hat and just like do one. Right. So that I can have done that and then gotten that out of my system, see if I like to do it and move on.
All right.
Yeah. So that's the one wrong thing that I bought this week.
Coming up in the next few moments, a message for old dads. Old dads, older dads are
what you're an expert in.
What, I'm an expert in that? Yeah. I think so is Walter Sterling. But listen, it's becoming a thing. It's a trend. We'll tell you about it coming up. Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling Every Damn Night. Inspired by The Blacklist.
I've been evading the police and law enforcement for almost 30 years. I'm the most wanted man in the world. At the time of our encounter, I was armed with a Browning 9mm semi-automatic with a round in the chamber and the hammer cocked. Do you really expect this court to believe that a marshmallow disguised as a patrol officer, a comic figure in an ill-fitting uniform, could possibly make me nervous?
More men are waiting until they're 50 or older to become fathers.
Like the first kid after 50?
Yes.
Wow.
Dan and Becky Gaffney in for Sterling on Sunday. By the way, message me on Facebook, Dan Gaffney Show. Show some support. Click like. Go over to Facebook.com/Dan Gaffney Show. And you're on Instagram all the time.
I am. You can find me at Just Being Mom.
I'm on Instagram, too, but that is a page dedicated to my mentalism and mind reading act. And I'm not a, it sounds like a joke.
No, it sounds like, a joke. But it's not. Yeah, it does. It sounds like a joke when you say it. It's kind of funny because we both have Facebook pages under our normal names, but that our Instagrams are like weird. Like yours is all magic and mine is, I don't know, Just Being Mom.
Because I'm a corporate performer and travel and do shows and we just.
And I'm just a mom, so there you have it.
I'm trying to describe the mind reading.
And I'm describing the title of my page, babe. That's all.
Just Being Mom.
There it is.
All right. So I just did a show for 200 paying customers, a sellout crowd. 200 was in the, that was a good audience.
Yeah,
good
nice. Audience.
Very good.
Got it more, was nice.
More programs coming up. Okay. But listen, what are we getting at here?
Old dads.
Yeah, since we have eight, and so, you know, I got started a little later than
most.
A lot of people. Kept going, I guess.
Right. Well, our youngest is eight.
Yeah.
At this point.
So I would qualify here. I was over 50 when you had him.
Mm-hmm.
Stanford, California. Here's a study. Published in the medical journal JAMA or JAMA Network Open, whatever. It's like that medical thing. That many men are waiting until their 50s before fathering children. And at Stanford University, it's a growing trend, but, you know, they always say this, raising new concerns about the child's health and their future.
Yeah, well, we know men.
They're trying to scare you into not having babies.
Well, they scared these people, I think, into not having babies before. There's always some, like, your quality of life's going to be horrible if you have kids. You can't live your life if you have kids. Everything is just like kids are a burden, and it's not true.
Big lie. She's right. It's one of the biggest lies. Anyway, men can wait because men don't have the same biological clock, if you will, that women do. So it's not that big a deal, but it says they studied 46 million births in the U.S. from 2011 to 2022. And here's what they found. The number of babies born to fathers who are 50 and above is on the rise, which challenges a stereotype about who the old dads really are. Contrary to popular belief. I hate how they write it.
I know.
These silver-haired fathers aren't all wealthy executives or celebrities. The study reveals a diverse group spanning various racial backgrounds and education levels, from college professors to blue collar. The face of older fatherhood is changing. Well, it's also, you know, 50 is the new 40, you know, and all that stuff.
But again, I think everybody is pushed into believing don't have kids, don't have kids, don't have kids. And we know people have for years who, like, they get to a certain point. I mean, we have friends that in their 50s adopted kids because they waited too long.
Right. And the men, if they realize and have regret of being not fathers, it's not as hard for them.
Right.
The real thing is when women believe the lie and they wait too long and then it's too late.
Right.
That's kind of a tragedy.
Mm-hmm. It is.
To me.
Right. I mean, when you're a woman, you're born with a certain amount of eggs. Those are all the eggs you have for your whole life. And once they're gone, they're gone.
Right. So have more babies. That's my... I think that we both would say this, have more babies.
I think so. Yep, we would. We definitely would. You run into a lot more people who say...
Like, we had eight. I wish we had more.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
And there are people who say, you know, I wish that I had more. I've only ever run into one woman, who says that she wishes she didn't have as many kids as you as she actually has. You can imagine what kind of a mom she is. Mm. But most of the people say... Who says that about their kids?
Harsh.
People who never wanted them in the first place. And it's just, it's not true that it's something that you have to wait to do in order to have a better life. I think that's contrary to popular belief. However, if you're 50 and you're going to have kids, go for it.
The only downside, and it's a very minor downside that I've experienced a couple of times,
is being called grandpa at the grocery.
That's right.
Yeah.
The best is when, you know, I'm at the drugstore with the two youngest, okay? And the woman behind the counter, who appears to be much older than me, okay? And by my eyes, like, she seems to be much older than me.
Mm-hmm.
But she says something like, oh, I like to go out with my grands,
I too. Like to take my, are you out with Pop-Up today?
Yes, they actually say that, and the kids the crack kids, up.
Right. When they were babies, they couldn't really laugh, but now it's hilarious.
Laugh, man. It's hilarious.
And even some of the older kids, like even some of the older teenagers will be called grandchildren sometimes. Yeah. It is kind of funny.
Yeah, because they'll say things like, or they'll talk to the kids, like someone will talk to the kids. Hey, you having a good time with Grandpa today?
Hey, Pop-Up, you buying some ice cream for the grand?
And the kids crack up, and I look at this person like, dude.
I have to say, like, you
we're going to throw down here.
He gets really mad, everybody. He gets, like, so mad that it's comical.
I'm their father. That's what I say. I'm their father.
Yeah, but it's comical. And so it really is funny because when you do think about it, like, they probably were grandparents a lot younger that we don't have any grandchildren. We have no grandchildren. Yeah. We have kids. We have four adult children, no grandchildren.
Yet.
So at some point we will be grandma and grandpa.
But not yet.
No, not yet. So it's just kind of funny.
It is.
So, yeah, go have some babies.
So anyway, fatherhood at 50, older men starting families later, according to research. But no reason to wait. Young men should get started early.
Find
a woman who wants to have a lot of children and get married to her. Is that bad advice?
I don't think that's bad advice.
That's
I think that's great advice, right? Yeah.
I just want to know what you think. I looked over at you like, what is she going to say?
Yeah.
But if you're a young man, I would find a woman who wants to have 12 kids or more.
So I didn't do well enough for you, honey?
No, you did great.
Okay.
But, you know, things are, you know.
We need
God
four
has
more.
His plans,
that's
okay,
right.
Dear?
Yes.
So we have, you know, great. We had eight, you know. And I didn't always understand that would be great. I mean, it's scary, right?
Yeah.
Or there are things that you don't understand after you have two, three, four, and then you're like, oh, my gosh.
I think you were like, oh, my gosh, a lot sooner than that. You're,
well,
like,
whatever.
Very scared
well,
about
it took me a while.
I know. I get it.
It's not that I, you know, you're scared because right. there's a lot of things you got to start thinking about, like, oh, how am I going to afford this?
Which is why it's very easy for people to believe that they shouldn't be having kids until they're, quote, ready. And then you get past the point of ready, and then you have regretty.
Right. So my advice would be, don't listen. In the world is filled with all these negative things about kids, tons, and parenthood. It's filled with it. It's like the whole world is exact opposite of the way it should be right now. They're trying to tell you, don't, you know, kids are a blessing. They tell you they're a burden, right?
Right.
They want you to be selfish and not have them, right?
Right.
That's preached all the time. Mm-hmm. There's also the propaganda that new research says it costs $148,000 to raise a child, and all this scary financial stuff and money stuff, and they scare you to death. Don't listen to absolutely any of that stuff. Forget it.
And if you forget it, don't try to raise them like the world is raising them, like Keeping Up with the Joneses, raising your kids and doing this and doing that, or it will cost you that much money to raise them. Think about your kids, put your family first, and it's a whole different ballgame.
Mm. So anyway, I don't know if that surprises you that more men are, they don't say anything about the women.
Well, because the women, basically, once they get to 50, what are they going to do at that point? They can't be, you know, like, hey, I want to go have kids. Daryl Hannah has had two kids in her 50s. Who else just did that? Cameron Diaz?
Yeah.
Had her second at 51. Yeah.
Really?
Well, plus, if you're a celebrity who's paying tens of thousands of dollars to do in vitro because you decided to have kids later, they could be doing that, too.
Well, you don't know. I mean, they may have done it.
I'm pretty the real way. Sure we won't go there, but.
Okay. So a diverse group of people, various racial backgrounds and education levels.
Just basically men. I mean, I don't know why we have to go into the whole, race and.
It's a study, you know.
Yeah, I know.
They like to find out what's what.
Dudes want to have kids and they're having kids.
Then they say the research suggests babies born to fathers over 50 face slightly higher risks of premature birth and low birth rate.
Yeah.
While these increased risks are modest, they do raise important questions about the effects of delayed fatherhood on child health.
And like who's pushing C-sections, early C-sections these days, because that's a big number too. So I'm guaranteeing you that those are probably not all natural births that are coming early. We're pushing an early C-section because that's like a thing to do as well.
888-688-WALT. It's our telephone number tonight, 888-688-9258. Here's another interesting part of the study. The oldest fathers, those 70 and above, hey now, how old is his wife? The 70 and above.
What? That was weird. That was just weird.
I know it was. We're less likely to have boys if you're over 70.
Hmm.
Less likely to have boys.
Interesting.
The unexpected finding adds a new twist to the understanding of how paternal age might influence offspring. Another key finding is the increased use of assisted reproductive technology among older fathers. As men age, they're more likely to need a little help from science to become dads, it says. This trend highlights the growing importance of fertility treatments
trend.
In modern family planning.
There you go.
You knew it was going there, right?
Well, because, again, I've read some of these things, so yes.
Yeah. The study revealed that older fathers are more likely to have children with first-time mothers over the age of 25.
The 70-year-old is, I hope she's over 25.
Right.
Jeez.
Shift in family dynamics with more couples choosing to start families later in life. Well, doesn't that kind of go along with they're getting married later in life? Everything's delayed. Mm-hmm. Everything's later than it used to be. My parents, I think, were under 18 when they got married.
They were.
Different world, right?
Yep. My grandparents, too. I think my grandparents were teenagers and your parents were teenagers, and they were right around the same age. My grandparents and your parents.
And stayed married.
Yeah.
Had kids, stayed married till death.
Right.
In both cases, right?
In both cases, yes. Correct.
All right.
But no babies over the age of 50 with either of them. Your parents were older when they had you, but not like extremely old, but you were, your sister was basically the same age as my mom. So you had brothers and sisters that
right.
were the age of my parents, and then you were much, much later you were born. So
all right. Fatherhood at 50. Hey, for what it's worth, another story tonight. Dan and Becky Gaffney filling in for Walter Sterling. Thank you for tuning in. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Larry David.
None of your f-ing business. How about that?
Sterling every damn night. Dan and Becky Gaffney. I think I can say that I've enjoyed hanging out on the great affiliates of the Sterling, you know, Sterling Empire.
Late night date night for us tonight.
This is much later than we're normally up.
Your alarm goes off in 1 hour, honey.
Yeah, right.
1 hour.
It's all right. I napped today so that we could be here live with the wonderful audience. It's been great. We are having a problem with trusting doctors lately.
I think you've jumped on this train like a lot more lately than anything else. I said this morning that you're becoming a conspiracy theorist, in fact.
Well, in real life, when we're talking off mic and the conversation turns to something serious, it's not politics. We don't talk about politics or anything.
No.
But if we're out doing stuff and we're talking, what is the number one topic? It centers around medicine and doctors and drugs and over-medicated world. It all goes to that a lot.
And I'm going to say that normally, because if we're out and about, you see people walking and you have like this massive concern with people's gait, where people are shuffly.
People are going to think
this
is weird.
They're dragging a foot, and it's, you know, and that is a side effect of a lot of psychotropic meds.
Yeah, I feel bad for people.
Yes, and you notice it all the time. That's one thing that, you know, your ears perk up. You see that happening.
Younger people, too. Like,
right.
There can't be that many foot or knee injuries. Maybe there are. There are certainly people hurt themselves, right?
Right.
And they're going to walk with a limp or something, but how many people have foot or knee injuries? If you just go to a big grocery store or superstore, Walmart or something like this, and just people watch for a while, huge majority of people have some, I call it gait.
Yeah.
The gait is like they have a limp or they're having struggling or walking sideways or something of this nature. And I'm like, what is wrong with everyone?
Anyway, that's how it comes up mostly. Like 20 years ago, I would say that mostly it was like, you would notice overweight people a lot. And you were always concerned with the overweight people. Well, now it's not the overweight people that are concerning you as much as...
Well, because everyone's overweight.
Everyone's overweight. But then there's this large community of people who you're noticing if all ages with this problem. And that leads you back to saying, what is it? What is it? Well, is it
why
meds?
Is it? Yeah.
Right. And then we get on that trail.
Right.
Every time we see people.
Yeah, well, but I think... And we're not alone in this. I think we also, however, have stopped going to doctors
as much
for health or general health, right?
I would say, look,
if I need a surgery or there's a trauma, going to a surgeon or a hospital with a broken arm or something, absolutely great, right? If I need something cut open and fixed internally, I think we're great. But general health and things, why are we going to?
Yeah, and I think that we got to that point too, basically, when if there was a concern, you would be met with, well, drink more water. Well, you could take these meds and make that pain go away. You know, we're not suffering from a lack of medication and definitely not suffering from a lack of water. So,
and we don't take any, we have no prescriptions.
No.
We don't.
No.
Thankfully.
No one in the house.
Thankfully. I mean, you
right.
know, I mean,
and, you know, and there are, it's, And we prefer not to go that route. Even if it's just an over-the-counter thing, we try to not do that in all situations. So, anyway, that's just...
That's all. We could talk about it forever. But guess what? We're out of time.
How did that happen so fast?
I know. Great. Thank you to producer Sean, who's just so great. We appreciate his help. Thank you for listening. Dan and Becky Gaffney, Sterling every damn night.
Walter M. Sterling.